Welcome in to Endgame Chat. It's Saturday, August the 29th, 2026, season 20, episode 27 now. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And we're here to talk about video games.
And other stuff. When they pop in.
I know. When I go off on some line of thinking that, yeah, mimics exactly how I think in my head and everything else. If you want to join the show, well, we've got our Twitch feed going on. We got our Discord feed. We got all that stuff that you can kind of interact with us. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. You can also find us on Twitch right now, streaming the cam feed, twitch.tv. Type in Ingame Chat in the search. You'll be able to find us right there. Join the chat room live while we broadcast. And, of course, Discord, always available to you as well. All right, kind of a week. We had Gamescom this week, which I had totally honestly forgotten about because I didn't make mention of it last week to say, hey, tune in Gamescom on Tuesday, I think it was, or Wednesday. I can't remember, middle of the week.
Yeah,
it was middle of the week, middle of the day, because it was taking place in Germany, I believe, which is where Gamescom takes place from. Which, you know, Keeley did his... God, two-hour thing of, like, new game reveals, and it's just a ton of game trailers and reveals and things. It felt kind of weak to me.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot in there, a lot of titles in there that really got my interest.
I didn't know if it was just me, like, because I was running it, but I was, like, doing other stuff. So I had it on one screen, and then I was, you know, doing other stuff on the other screen. And when something, you know, when it got into a game trailer, I would just quickly look at it and say, is this something I'm interested in? No. Skip, skip, skip. Because yep. I had that ability, because exactly. I was watching it afterwards, and it's just like, yeah, skip, skip, skip.
Exactly. It's like, I can't see myself playing this. I can't see myself playing this.
Yeah.
And then down the line, then there was something that popped up and said, made me think, well, I can think about this, and I can look at it after a while, if I remember it. Because how many times have we seen a title, it gets our interest, and then it just disappears for like 5 months, and you can't remember
Months. More like a year in most cases, where it just doesn't come back.
Yeah, but if you don't have that constant reminder that this is in development, that we're working on this, it's just going to be out of sight, out of mind. And by the time it pops out, you're like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. But you looked at it.
Yeah. That's the worst part, is when it does come back.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow, this looks really good. And then you find out that it was shown 3 years ago, and you're like, oh, I probably liked it then too. But, you know, completely forgot that it's doing anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a bit of that feeling throughout most of it, and I'll have to honestly, I don't remember, but I'll have to when we go through like the list of here's what was revealed at Gamescom. When I go through there, and I don't know that I'm going to go through like the entire thing, because there was a lot, and a lot of it, I'll give you a title and I'll say I don't remember this, or I'll say that I can't remember how this looked or what I thought about it, because chances are, I didn't put a lot of thought into it if I just had no, you know, if it didn't pull me in, chances are I didn't have a lot of thought.
Yeah, your first appearance, you got like 5-10 seconds to get my interest. If you don't do it after that, move on to the next.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I can just tell immediately when it's shown. It's like, this is not for me, you know? Especially if it's a sequel in line with a genre or a franchise that I just am not interested in at all, you immediately can tell, like, eh, okay, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Now, for some, you know, sickos out there, this show was amazing for them because it, for whatever reason, they loved everything shown. And I remember when there was a time when, you know, the highlights outweighed the lowlights type of stuff for things, it, for me. But, you know, more recently, it seems that they're just, they're lowlights more than they are highlights for me. And I don't know if that's because my taste in games have changed, or if my opinion of them has changed, or whatever the case may be. I just was not as impressed with what we got from Gamescom. Then there were, well, the big one is the GTA reveal on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm. The extended look thing?
The extended look thing. We're not going to get into the talk about that at the moment. I'm just going to ask RJ one question, and then we'll move on from there. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's it. That was the one question I wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. So good. Okay. Just, I wanted to make sure you had. Because if you said no, I was going to have more questions as to why, but yeah, so we will get into that discussion, a little bit later on. Sorry, Wario posted something and it was for that Rackcoin coin pusher roguelike thing, which by the way, it's only $8.45 on Game Billet. If you go to gamebillet.com, the Steam version is only, $8.45. So there you go. All right. So what have you played this week? RJ, anything?
More of the same with, MLB The Show, Grand Theft Auto Online, Virtual Fighter 5 Revo, of course, but, I did get back into Densha Attack, playing through that again, got past, going past the tutorial.
Okay.
Played a few stages of trying to get this, race against, the Kogal in this town. I forget the name of the thing. It's,
yeah.
But it's just right. But yeah. So basically,
aren't those stages amazing?
Yeah. I mean, rolling on a Ferris wheel, running under a volcano, trying to dodge fireballs from the volcano.
Yeah.
Dodging between tracks. I mean, it is chaos.
It reminds me of old, God, it reminds me of like some old, and maybe it was Sega Racers or, and that's not the name of a game, but like one of Sega's racer type things. Maybe, I don't know. Arctic Thunder was not, or not Arctic Thunder, Hydro Thunder was not. Was that Sega?
I want to say it was Midway.
Midway, that's right. So yeah, like Arctic Thunder, or Arctic, I keep going to its sequel.
Hydro Thunder or
Hydro.
Hydro Thunder or H2 Overdrive.
Yeah.
That, something like that. But no, in my case, I was thinking more lines because of the look of it and the play style, things like that. It looked to me like a Jet Set Radio with more interactables and things you had to deal with.
It's got Jet Set Radio DNA all over it. I'm just talking about just the level design where it sends you into these weird, I say weird, but these outlandish situations for a tram, for a train car to go through.
Trains.
For one.
Trains on the water. Trains in the volcano.
But I remember some arcade games that were like on-rail shooters, stuff like that, where the level design was just outstandingly wacky, insane type stuff where you had things like just you were riding on a Ferris wheel or whatever the case may be, just something completely outlandish that had no business being in there, but they put it in there because it's just fun. You know, they're just doing it's already outlandish as it is.
It fits.
Yeah.
All the crazy stuff that they put in there fits.
And I don't know if it was an on-rail shooter or if it was an on-rail racer type thing. I can't remember, but I remember the levels just being insane on some of the things that you were able to do and that you could trigger to happen. And so on level design in that regard, yes. But yeah, really, really good game. I'm glad you got more time into it.
Yeah. I'm not in the second part yet. I'm like 1-6, I think, things like that. I'm getting bronze on everything because I'm not seeing there are multiple paths and all these things. Like you should have turned right here. You'd have got to this other section that would have taken you someplace else to get you to the other, spray cans to get stickers and ways to design your train and everything like that. So now, of course, with that being said, you've got to go back to the beginning and get all the paths open up so you can get all the challenges done to get your silver and your gold rank and all that other good stuff.
Yeah.
But I was just through stage one so far and not finished with that yet, but eventually I will get back to it and try to
did you take a look at the map? Did you see how big that map is?
I saw the first island that I was on. All the stuff you had to go there.
Because you can zoom out. You can zoom out from that map, and it's very, very big.
No, I didn't do that, but I would imagine if it's like 1-6, I know there's going to be 2 point this and three, and it's going to be more and more and more and more to go through. Now, with all the characters that was introduced in the intro that I saw in there that I haven't even seen but like one so far, I get the idea it's going to be a lot of exploring and stages to have to go through before I get everything said and done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it then.
That was pretty much it for you. Yeah. Marvel Snap for me, of course, as usual. I went back into Spider-Man 2, and I got those little Venom beds that are scattered around the city. I went in and did those.
Venom beds?
They're nests.
Okay, nests.
Yeah, whatever.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You put a bomb on them, and you have to defend the bomb for like 2 minutes against, enemy waves coming in. And the first one I did, I was horrible at it and died. And when I completed it, I looked at the others and I just thought, I'll get to those later. Well, Sunday, maybe? Mm-hmm. I think it was Sunday evening. I don't remember what I was doing. I was letting something do something, like, letting the clothes dry or the dishwasher to do something. I can't remember. I had some time to wait, like 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I said, well, let me knock out another one of these Venom nests. Mm. And it went by pretty quick. I don't know why, but it went by pretty quick.
Well, for me,
I have no idea, but it did pretty well. And then I went to the next. Well, I will say this. The first one that I picked, and I don't know if these are dynamic depending upon the first one you pick and the last one you pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one I picked had two nests to defend. So I had to go back and forth between the two nests to get the enemies off of it or, just to defend. Because they will put damage on it, and if it runs out of health, you fail the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one I picked had two. There were three others to go through, and the next two were just one to defend.
How much distance between the two nests in that one you went through? Was like one web sling away from getting to it?
Right, I would say a web swing. Like, you couldn't really run to it fast enough, especially since you had a bunch of guys, throwing things at you and knocking you off and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so it was more of a, trying to keep my head on a swivel type thing of like, where do I go next to make sure and it would give you a warning anytime one of them's getting attacked. It wouldn't tell you which one, but you'd get a warning and you'd have to, look and make sure.
So you got to guess?
Well, no, you just look at it, Like, if you're busy fighting some guy and then you get a warning, it's going to be on the left or right of your screen, and you can kind of look to see which one if he's on the left and both nests are on the left, then you just look and see, is this one covered? Oh, no, it's the other one. Let me get to that one. Yeah.
So it's obvious that which one is in trouble when you get that warning. When looking at it.
Yeah, of course. When you look at it, you can see the enemy, slamming their hands against the thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're beating the bomb up or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're attacking it. But the first, like I said, the first one I picked had two nests, and I was like, this is really difficult. So I went, I was like, let me knock out another nest. And my only intention was to do one because I thought it was going to be as much of a headache as the last one was. But it was very easy, but I only had one nest to defend. I went to the next one thinking, all right, well, that's not bad. Let me go to the next one. So I went to the next one, one nest to defend. I got through it, and I was like, man, I wonder why that other one was so hard. Why is this clicking for me now? So then I went to the last one and I'm back to two nests again, but doing the previous ones and really doing them quite well, I felt like, this will be fine. And I got it knocked out in no time.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for whatever reason, it just was better for me at that point. So, I cleared those out. I think some more will spawn eventually, but the only thing I have left to do now is continue the story. So I'll pick up that at some point and continue on with the story. So I played that and then I played some Snap. We'll talk about it because it's a story that has made, it's made my gaming news stuff, but Snap has introduced a draft mode. Which apparently is something that's been in card games or whatever for a while, but it's never been in Snap. And I've seen people's reaction on the internet of like, I played better draft modes, and this is my first draft mode. I don't know how it works.
Sounds like random.
Oh, no, it's absolutely random.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely random. So a deck consists of 12 cards.
Mm-hmm.
When you click play on draft, you are given three choices of styles. In other words, do you want to do a destroy deck? And this is a deck where you destroy your cards and they get more powerful. You know, do you want to do a deck that is ongoing? Ongoing is where the power is continually happening and can be increased or decreased. You don't want that, but the power can be increased. You know, it's an ongoing effect. So it's continually going. There's other things that have on reveal, which means as soon as your card is played, the power takes effect. Mm-hmm. It does its thing. Ongoing is when it's played, and it continues throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it gives you three choices of those styles. And within those styles are three cards that fit that archetype. And so you're like, eh, which one do I want? And then you pick that. It gives you the three cards. Then it pulls up three more cards, and you select one out of that group. They are typically, supposedly, supposed to match the style that you're playing. But it is random. So occasionally you'll get three options, two of which work for your deck, and then one that's like, he does not belong in this, does not belong in this play style. But sometimes whatever they give you on the other options are also not great. So there's a little bit of a give and take. Anyway, you'll do this for, you get your first three picking the style that you want to play. And then you'll pick the next seven individually. Once you have 10, you're done. You go into a match. If you win that match, you get to pick another card. Then you go in with 11 cards. If you win that match, you get to like augment your card, one of your cards, and it randomly picks which card you can augment with. Mm. And it also randomly picks the augments that it gives you as well. Sometimes an on reveal happens twice. So when you lay the card down, its power hits, you know, double. Sometimes there is ones that when it is destroyed, it regenerates with more power at a different location. They have cards that already do that, but now they have an augment that can attach to any card that can do that. But if you're not playing a destroyed deck, then that's not going to help you. And sometimes you will get something that does not really benefit what you're doing. You can choose to skip that part. But when it comes to picking cards, you can't skip that. You have to pick a card, regardless if it's going to fit or not. I mean, if the luck of the draw is playing your way, you got something good. If it's not, you kind of got to hold your nose and just be like, oh, I'll take that one then, mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. It's just completely RNG, but everybody is RNG. You know, you're not, it's not like you're playing somebody that has constructed manually themselves a better deck than you. They had different options than you had probably, and they put together this deck. So yeah, I mean, they kind of have constructed it, but it wasn't a sense where they were able to, it's not like when you go into other game modes of the match, it's people who have put their deck together how they want to put that deck together.
Right.
This is all based RNG. Mm-hmm. That's all draft is a completely random card situation.
Yeah.
For both players. And you hope that you got a good one, or you hope you're facing somebody who got a bad one. I just before we came on the show, I had built a deck. What did I build? It was a boost deck. This is so the cards that I have in my deck mostly are there to boost other cards in my deck. I have a card that will immediately give a +1 to every card in my deck. I have a card that will give a +3 to the top card on my deck. I have a card that if any of my cards have extra points on them, it'll give me an extra turn, or not an extra turn, but more, whatever, more power to turn to play more cards with,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be called in the game, is mana, something like that. Anyway, so yeah, it's all there to boost the other cards that I have, and I lost my first match. The way it works is you play until you get 5 wins or 2 losses, and so I lost my first match with it, and the way it looked, I was like, this is probably not going to work. And so I lost, and then I was like, I might as well play the next one out. Because if I lose that, then I can just restart on another deck some other time. Because, I mean, it was getting close to showtime here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I played my next one and actually won that one. So I'm still hanging on by one life, but I got to win 3 more games in order to to get through that. And you get like a bunch of stuff if you win, if you do the five wins in a row type thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are excited for it. The Steam concurrent user number, which is normally sitting at around 2,000 players, bumped up to about 7,000 when they released this. So, yeah, it did pretty good for them. I don't like it.
Well, the something new and different aspect, that has to play something into it as well. But, yeah, with too much random stuff in there, yeah, I could. When you've spent all this time building and getting it just the way you want it,
yeah,
I can see that.
Well, I mean, I want to say they are doing a fantastic, like, if you have never played the game before, or if you did play the game and you've been away for a while, they're doing a great thing here. For the next 2 weeks, they are giving away, I think, at least three full decks. And they have them listed as an archetype deck, like a Silver Surfer deck. There's a zombie deck. And then there's a ramp deck. That's three full decks of cards that if you haven't played in a while, you're getting some great cards in this stuff. They're also doing a lot of other giveaways. They're doing every day for a login reward for the next 2 weeks, you get something. And by the way, if you haven't been playing or haven't been logging in, the previous day's rewards and the day before, all of those are still available to you. It's not if you missed a day, you don't get it. It's waiting there for you. So I would say that if you have ever had an interest in Snap, and it is free to play, if you've ever had an interest in Snap, now is probably a really good time to get in on it. Not because of draft mode, but because of everything that they're giving away. Draft mode is fine. The other thing that I don't like about draft mode is that it is a limited time game event, which means it's only here for the next 2 weeks, which it's already been going on for, I don't think, not even a week yet. It'll be a week on Tuesday, I believe. Maybe Tuesday, maybe Monday. I think it may have went live on Monday. But regardless, it's a limited time game mode. And when they do that, and they have a rewards track, so like if you're earning stuff from winning these games, you get to pick rewards and that sort of thing. But in order to play, you have to have a ticket. And they issue you one ticket per 24 hours. You start with, I think, 9 tickets. Now, the rewards track has tickets. So, you know, as you win, as you move up that rewards track, you can get more tickets. The login bonus that I said, there's some of those days have tickets in them for you to get so that you can play it. I like the game mode. And if it sticks around permanently and doesn't require tickets to play, I'll enjoy it. But if I got to gamble my ticket to maybe win, maybe not, even though for the most part my streak is crap at the moment of winning. I've done it twice. I've won 5 games in a row twice. And that was the first day and then the second day of this being active. So if it was active Monday, it happened that day. And then it happened again on Tuesday. It has not happened since. It is not. I've gotten to 4. I've sometimes gotten to 3, but it's really bad. And I don't know if that's because of the RNG. I don't know if I'm bad at putting decks together. I don't know. It is fun to play because it is kind of a dice roll, because maybe you do get, maybe you do draw the nuts, as they say in poker. You get something really good, and then the further you play, it keeps getting better for you. Maybe that happens, but for me, it hasn't. And luckily, I have finished the reward track whatever thing, so I don't feel like I'm trying to climb a ladder anymore. I'm there. I'm at the end of it. I'm done. So now I can play it without worrying about, like, the ticket use and stuff like that. I've hit the goal that I wanted to hit. Now I can kind of just enjoy it rather than stress over it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it and kind of brush off the losses rather than, rage fit over the losses.
Yeah.
It's like, there's another ticket I don't have. See, because now I'm sitting on like 19 tickets because I finished the reward track and all this other stuff. You can have a max of 20. Once you hit 20, you stop earning the ones per day.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you earn some in other ways, if I go out and buy them with real money or whatever the case may be, they'll add to my total. It's not that I can't get more than 20, but they just don't give me a free one every day if I've already got 20.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of over explanation of Marvel Snap and the draft mode. But like I said, I encourage anybody that's had a passive curiosity about the game itself, now would be a great time to pop in there and give it a go. Yeah, AC Wraith says it's in-game deck building when you seem to prefer meta deck building. I do, because that's what the game has been since it started. It has been meta deck building. It is, here's the new card of the week, or here's the top card to use, build a deck around it, and, you know, see what you can do with it.
You still got a full collection of all your cards in the game.
I do,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's new openings for new cards they made, right? You still got everything.
Right. I am absolutely. They make a new card every week. Sometimes 2 weeks. Sometimes two in a week. Like this draft mode on the rewards tier has a brand new card in it, and that's how you get that card. They also released a new card earlier this week, and you have to have tokens of some sort to get that in-game currency type stuff. But again, I'm already sitting on what I'm sitting on, and I'm good. So I got those two cards, you know, and I'm still collection complete. But that's how I keep it complete, is I make sure that I've got enough to buy the new card each week that it comes out. Mm-hmm. And when I say buy, I'm talking about in-game currency. I'm not talking about actually spending money to buy the cards. Mm-hmm. But as AC Wraith says, in-game deck building versus meta deck building. And meta is something that I prefer, but again, that's because that's how Snap started. That's what Snap is. That's likely what any deck building card game is, would be meta deck building to start with, unless you're playing a mode that does this, like a draft mode, I guess. This is my first draft mode, so I don't know. Other people have experienced it in other games. What am I trying to think of? Hearthstone?
Or any type of a card deck.
Yeah,
game
well, like I think that. Hearthstone had a draft build in it, because I believe the people who built Hearthstone are the same people that built this, that built Snap, or at least some people are from that group. Okay. AC Wraith said there's plenty of in-game deck builders like Slay the Spire. That's a game I haven't played, so I hate to throw out an opinion about it since I haven't played it. I thought Slay the Spire was like deck building based on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Slay the Spire works. I just thought it was more of a. What am I trying to say here? Not Balatro-esque, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to compare it to something. But yeah. Anyway, haven't played Slay the Spire, so I don't know. It's on my wish list, as is the sequel as well. But I have not played it. I keep thinking about picking it up, and then I never do. At one point, I thought about picking it up when it was just Slay the Spire. And now, when I think about picking up Slay the Spire, I'm like, yeah, but the sequel's out there. Why not just either get it in a bundle later or just get the sequel? Because it's likely improved upon what the first one did, I would guess.
You would hope.
Yeah, I would assume. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat for you. This is music from... Unbeatable is the name of the game, called Rest and Rant. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Hey, welcome back into in-game chat. Very dramatic, over-the-top music going on right now. This is from Terminator 2D, No Fate. It is the truck chase scene.
Oh, then this music fits.
It does.
Yep.
Still haven't played the game. That game does not drop in price very generously, I would say.
Mm. It's like one of them Nintendo discounts.
Yeah, really. Maybe $5.
$5, yeah. That's it.
And it's been out since January.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think. And yeah, still kind of waiting for it to drop up a little bit. Not that it needs to. I mean, I think it's likely worth every penny, but I just don't have the pennies to be spending on it at the moment. Yeah. Unless it drops a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's jump into the Grand Theft Auto stuff. Why not? It was you did watch it, and I'm glad you did. Because I was really going to have a conversation with you as to why you might have skipped it, which, of course, you would have provided a valid reason. But when did you eventually watch it?
Earlier.
Do you
today.
Have Netflix? Or Okay. Mm. You watched it earlier today, so you hit up the YouTube and found it.
YouTube, yeah.
Good job.
Oh, wait.
Huh?
I do have Netflix. Oh. Yeah, but I watched it yesterday.
Well, it's on Netflix for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's why, because I haven't had a reason to go to Netflix really lately.
There's
the only show I did watch was ended, so I'll just wait for the update.
Yeah, there is that where it's So anyway, point being, what did you? I hate to ask, what did you think about it? But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
It's Grand Theft Auto. You know, it's a crime story. It's got a lot of activities and everything like that. I mean, I guess nothing really stood out to me. I know it's Grand Theft Auto, so I know what to expect, really, more than anything like that. I didn't see anything that really stood out to me because I'm looking at this game and I'm thinking, okay, this is a story game. I just want to see what the story is all about. And what it looks like to me is it feels like a prequel. Like before Jason and Lucia became what they became, this is how they got to that spot, you know? So I'm just interested in the story of how they got from point A to point B. So, yeah, I mean, I'm expecting a crime story and seeing how one got to another. But as I said before, I'm not willing to pay that much to go through it. I could just watch a YouTube stream of it and go from there.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that when I was watching the video myself of any of the situations that you saw them in. It seemed to be spread out over, like, I think three different segments.
Mm-hmm.
There was the opening segment where it seems like you're a drug runner or something.
The botched drug pickup.
Yeah, you're either doing a pickup, a drop off. You're just kind of a runner for somebody.
Minor jobs.
Yeah. Well, I say minor because one of the later things that we saw was a montage of them coming out of mostly like gas stations and convenience stores and stuff like that.
Convenience store stick-ups, yeah.
As though they're just doing those kind of like day-to-day, I say day-to-day, but, you know, day-to-day robberies or whatever the hell it is.
Which I was talking about off the air, that's something I've never really got into playing any of the GTAs. The convenience store robberies, there was always better money doing something else in-game.
Yeah,
me.
And
I
so...
mean, didn't really do anything for me.
In my head, canon of how this worked was like, I guess you start probably there where you've got to do hits on gas stations and that
start
sort of thing.
Yeah, start small and build yourself up. Yeah.
Because then you go back to the opening where you're doing the drug runs for gangs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was, at some point, there were these high class security people for some dude.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, now they've made it up to it was kind of their progression from whatever.
Learning how to take jobs from when Lucia was driving and she was getting the speech about how a professional operates.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a professional?
Yeah.
And to be okay. That was the ground up. Yeah.
It was very well put together as far as like, let's showcase all the different things. You know, you get the you showcase how the story mission setups are done. Plenty of combat to show off. Then there was, okay, what about vehicular combat? You know, what about when you're driving? How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it looked like, depending on what the story calls for, you're either gunning or you're driving.
Yeah.
Although there was one scene where you went from being the driver and seamlessly it puts you in to the other character to man the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time we saw it was, I guess they were a getaway driver for somebody who was robbing something. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she drives off and you become, you're
Lou is driving and Jason's shooting.
Jason. Yeah, yeah. You become Jason and are shooting against. Yeah, I couldn't think of the dude's name.
No, I was thinking of that that meme from Heavy Rain. Press X to Jason.
Yes, yes, yes. Press X to Jason. Exactly.
Yeah.
But in that particular scene, in that particular example, it looked like you didn't have a choice. The story was she's going to drive and you're going to shoot, and eventually. She was able to evade and kind of hide out. Then they had the conversation about professionalism.
Yeah.
And when they get spotted, no longer are you Jason. You now become
Lucia
to have to drive and evade the police.
Yeah.
So it kind of was like, here's one mission where you're going to do both. And then there was one, I have no idea. It was just one of the montage things that they showed where it went from, I think her driving. No. He was driving. And then it did the switch as though you had been driving, and then it did the switch to her, and you were able to, you know, do whatever, shoot out the gun, do the stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm not exactly sure when you're able to do that other than maybe in some type of free roam, just whatever type play, but who knows. So yeah, that was something that I noticed as well. Of course, I noticed the music. The music that they pick is going to be obviously music you're going to hear on the radio stations and things like that. They didn't really highlight any sort of flying stuff, but that's fine. There were boat. I know that there was boat stuff and oh God, whatever that stuff, whatever the thing is that you drive when you're in the swamplands and stuff like that. And I can't remember what it's called.
I think I know you're talking about the one with the turbo fans on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm drawing a blank. As a kid, I used to know exactly what those
things
were.
Yeah, the things that run in the swamp. I mean, water, Florida, yeah, things like that. The kayak races, the motocross, all that
stuff. Oh, yeah, there was all that other stuff that you could take part in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what it's called. Fan boat? Sure. I'm not sure. Somebody will look it up and tell us.
That might be it.
Very well could be.
Fan boat. But, but the thing that stands out is that big fan in the back that propels you across the... Across the swamp.
There's somebody did a whole like breakdown of everything we saw, which is just like now they're just describing scenes.
Hmm. Fan boats, commonly known as airboats.
Airboats, yeah.
I actually like fan boats better, it kind of fits better. But
it says missions can be played as either Jason or Lucia, and missions can be completed either together or separately. I think that's a little bit broad to say that. I think maybe there are some missions that can be done as either or. I don't think all missions can be. I think some missions are going to be it's just him, some missions it's just her. And some missions can be completed either together or separately. Again, there are some likely that probably can do that, but I think there's probably going to be others where you have to do it by yourself or you have to do it as a team.
If it's story-based, I could see a situation may pop up where you have no choice but to play solo with Jason or Lucia.
But I also think there's likely, side missions that are respective to just the character.
Oh, yeah. If it's anything like the story that was in GTA 5, there was plenty of side missions and stories. Strangers and Freaks especially stands out to me and all the other stuff that was all across the map.
Says the wanted system has changed from GTA 5. Now a circle on the map will indicate the area in which the police are tracking the pair rather than seeing specific mini-map indicators for each police vehicle. I want to talk about the mini-map.
Mm-hmm.
It looked atrocious.
Very low detail.
Horribly low detail.
Yeah.
A
pink line because of the Miami coloring and... very dim images of what was surrounding you.
Yeah.
I mean, you wasn't even worth looking at, really. You could tell, you got to make a turn here. Good luck.
Yeah.
Way you have to turn that, but yeah.
That seemed, and I'm not sure if that's because if you've got the police, I'd have to go back and watch it again to really pay attention to the mini map.
Okay, the part I was looking at, the mini map that I was looking at was when it was when Jason and Lucille were going to go meet someone, and Lucille was in the lavender, pink or lavender dress.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the mini map then, and that's when I noticed how low detail that thing
was. I think you're right. Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't, no action going on. It was just a drive from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. But even with that, nothing really indicated except that guidance line at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
That seemed off, as well as, you know, and I'm absolutely nitpicking on a 30-minute video that was put up on Netflix of the first gameplay that we've seen of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old this is. I don't know if things have changed since then or if things are expected to change since then.
Especially that inventory wheel.
Because that's where I was going.
Yeah.
That is exactly where I was going with setting this up.
Yeah.
The inventory wheel looked
basic.
I mean, absolutely placeholder-ish.
That's a good word for it. It was a placeholder.
Like, we just put this there for the time being.
Yeah.
But part of me is thinking, no, I think that's it. I think that's going to be.
That can't be it, man.
I don't know, man. That was the. Just to not only just point out the inventory wheel, but let me point out everything. The HUD itself seems very minimal. I'm kind of okay with that. I remember there was a scene where I think it was Jason. Oh, no. It was during the last one when they were doing the high security. They were the high level security for.
Oh, they were in the suits and everything.
They were
like
in
that.
The suits and stuff. Yeah. And these dudes in painter outfits were going through. Anyway, Jason took some cover behind a wall and these guys were getting off an elevator. And all I really saw on the screen was the gun I was using and the amount of ammo I had in the gun and on me for that gun. Two different numbers.
Yeah.
And just the gun. That was it. Anytime I took damage, I saw my health bar pop up, which again looked very lo-fi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a heart with a pink bar and there was a line in the middle of it. Now, I don't know if that's a chunk, you know, of an extend or if the line kind of moves in a certain, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a bar below that, which looked like it had an eye attached to it. And anytime the character would aim down sights, that bar would come up, and I guess that's your focus or concentration.
Mm-hmm.
It drains very slow when you're aiming down sights, but in that same scenario I was telling you about, they did a slow motion thing where he was able to freeze very Max Payne.
Michael's from
or Michael's, yeah,
GTA 5, yeah,
yeah. He was able to do
Michael's
the slow time, you know, shoot that, then aim over to shoot that, and then it drained very fast when it did that.
Well, yeah, well, Michael's ability in the game as well had that bar in the bottom between the health, the armor, and the ability meter, and it would just shrink down as you use it.
I never saw armor, but it pops up. See, it's almost as though I need to go back and watch the whole thing and only look at, like, for the entire 30 minutes, look up at the top and see what stuff is shown as far as a HUD. Although I'm sure the internet has already done this.
Oh, plenty of times, probably.
There's no point in me doing this.
But I would like to think that even if it is placeholder or basic, like we're saying right now, there's got to be some type of settings or something you can put on there to display things like that. I'd like to think that you would have the options to actually let that show.
Yeah, every time it popped up, I was just like, man, that HUD looks really bare bones. I say HUD, but the inventory wheel that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Not because there wasn't much in it. And every time we saw it, there was very little in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know from the leaks that were shown, you can scroll through. And even though it's an inventory wheel, you can select one of those and then scroll within it. So, you know, because I remember for hand-to-hand combat, you had that. But you could scroll and pick out a flashlight, pick out a fishing rod, pick out, you know, in the same
just like,
thing.
Yeah, just like GTA 5 and GTA Online. Yeah, you can multiple categories of weapons that you got. And if you got multiple weapons in that category, you can scroll between each one. So, yeah.
That was, that's my thing with the inventory wheel. I hadn't played. It's been, God, I don't know how long it's been since I played GTA 5.
Yeah.
Watching this whole thing, I was mainly referencing Red Dead Redemption 2. It was the most recent of a Rockstar game that I had to sort of reference how does this look and what's going on. But
close enough.
Even the inventory wheel, I can't remember what it looked like in Red Dead or in GTA 5.
And online, basically, yeah, it's that big. It's a big circle with the circles that has all the categories. Mm-hmm. In that circle, you just use your analog stick to roll around to which one you want and pick the one you want.
Yeah,
I want to say Red Dead Redemption. From clips I've seen, it was a bigger wheel.
I think so. I think you're
big,
right.
It was a big circle cut up in sections that you went from area to area to get what
because
you wanted.
Because you had your two-handed weapons, mm-hmm. your single-handed weapons, and then you had.
It's a shame I never played that game.
Like herbs and there were medicine and things
medicine,
like that
herbs,
that you could
things you could get up.
Yeah,
and,
like that wheel
crafting,
only
crafting stuff.
Yeah, that wheel only had that in it.
Yeah,
the two-handed guns or the bigger guns, whatever. That wheel only had those types.
Mm-hmm.
The single-handed guns. That wheel only had those types, or that section only had those types in it.
Yeah.
Then for your hand, you could be fist. You could use rope. You could select that for it, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, stuff.
Tools and stuff to use. Yeah,
yeah seemingly. And this is just me going, remember, because I haven't looked at it, which is also the same thing. I was thinking about the mini map, and I was like, man, it's been forever since I played GTA 5. I can't remember what that mini map looked like, but this seems pretty bones.
Better detail.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it had better detail in there, yeah. I mean, when they had multiple alleys and streets and nooks and crannies you had to go into, you had detail enough in the map to show that you were going in that spot. So, yeah. So I'm thinking it has to be, like you said, a placeholder, because that can't be it.
Players can swap masks, hats, and other clothing items before committing a crime, which will reduce the wanted level. Players can take on robberies, with one player robbing the store and the other serving as the getaway driver. Dirt bike races, we talked about that. Parachuting off the building was also shown. Which highlighted the draw distance of the game. I forgot about that because I had watched the leaks of the airplane flying over the city, and I was just like, I already knew what the draw distance looked like. It looked really good. In-game mechanic for swapping characters looks exactly the same as GTA 5. It goes from one end of the city to the other end of the city, depending on where your
character is. So, like we were talking about earlier, the story element may be a situation where they have to be split up, and you have to go single on that one.
Yep. And then the other thing they showed off was that everything we had just watched came from a base PS5.
Mm-hmm.
It did not say PS5 Pro.
Yeah.
It also didn't say base PS5. It just said PS5.
Mm-hmm.
Footage captured on a PlayStation 5.
So a little wiggle room in that aspect, yeah.
Well, everything that I've read, and I've gone through and looked at Digital Foundry, they did an analysis of what they saw. They did not have a copy of the game, but they did an analysis of what they saw, and they were highly impressed with what Rockstar has been able to pull off on a base PS5. And not necessarily that they're not impressed. In other words,
I would say this: are you hitting 60 frames a second?
Oh God, no,
you're not. Yeah,
no. Rockstar has already said this thing is 30 frames per second. That's it.
Locked.
Locked at 30.
Locked at 30. Okay.
With the except now, but they haven't talked about are there, for like a PS5 Pro, is there a whatever. You know how they have, what are they called? Quality. Man, I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know, but a side-by-side, but I was thinking off the top of my head, how much better performance is a PS5 Pro going to be over the... like I said, base PS5. Is it that big of a difference?
Yeah. They have usually when you're playing on PS, even when you're playing on PS5 and regular PS5, I remember some games had this, or at least I thought they did. But I know with the Pro, some games give you the ability to play the quality mode, which is like it looks really good, but it plays at 30 frames per second, or the performance mode, which is plays at 60, it just doesn't look as good type of thing, you know?
Okay.
And I'm curious if the Pro will have options like that. Nobody really knows, and Rockstar hasn't said anything about it. But we know it is 30 frames per second. Red Dead was 30 frames per second locked. Even when they released it on PC, Red Dead was 30 frames per second locked. But I believe you can mod that to run at 60. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't tried mods. Mm-hmm. I haven't even played Red Dead 2 on PC, even though I have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 30 frame per second game. Like I said, Digital Foundry were impressed by what Rockstar was able to do with what they had to work with and how long they've had to work with it. Mm-hmm. They were impressed by how it was able to be shown off and how it looked, not one thing standing out over the other, but just all of it in unison, mm-hmm. being able to pull that off on a PlayStation 5, looking really, really good doing it. Mm-hmm. They were really impressed by that. In fact, they were impressed by everything, I believe. And my first impressions were the character detail. It's likely there when you're just playing the game itself, but some of the cutscenes, some of the scenes where you're especially in that first mission that we got to see, the drug bust gone bad.
Yeah.
There was some details in some of those facial animations, some of the hair, physics,
mm-hmm.
there, and further into the game, some of the lighting we saw, but there was some stuff there that I was just like, man, they are not at Naughty Dog level currently, but they are at Naughty Dog level, say, not a generation ago, but prior to like Last of Us 2 being released or something like that.
You're not top of the line, but you're getting there.
You're close. Like I, for facial animations, for character animations, for mocap stuff, for the way that looks in cutscenes, things like that, Naughty Dog is just amazing with how that stuff looks.
Mm-hmm.
Gameplay can sit aside, that sort of thing. The stories can sit aside, but the way they make humans look in game and facial react and everything else, the way that they pioneered it, I saw this, and this was something that when we talked to them on Uncharted, the very first one, we had them on the show and talked to them about it. They said that they record the voices and the facial animations the same time they're recording the mocap, and it's with the actors themselves. And that's a selling point. I say a selling point, but that's an absolute point of why it looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting them acting in the moment. You're catching those facial animations, those facial reactions, because their face is all decked out in dots.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when Naughty Dog achieved that level, and when L.A. Noire, Rockstar, did that. Because that's what they did with the actors. They put all the stuff in their face and got things like that. So
they did that as well with Rockstar.
So Naughty Dog did it bigger and better than they did. I want to say Team Bondi did that for L.A. Noire.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. I can't remember on which came out whenever. I think L.A. Noire came out after Uncharted.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point of what I'm saying, though, is that Uncharted did something that nobody else had done before, at least in that regard. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you had people mocap it, and then you had voice actors go in and do the voices.
Yeah.
You know? You didn't have the voice actors doing the voice at the same time they're doing the mocap, and then also recording their face while they're doing it. And you get that detail.
Mm-hmm. Uncharted was 2007. L.A. Noire was 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easily.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, very impressive with what we got to see. So this thing is going to just do unbelievably well, which I guess is when we'll get numbers about how things went, because right now we have none, which I think is ridiculous. We have numbers on how well this did for Netflix. We don't have numbers on how well the pre-order is gone.
Yeah, I think we talked about in the past how numbers, when they're happy with the numbers, they're released immediately. When they're not happy with the numbers, something holds it up, so to speak.
Yeah.
But they're trying to take more time to get all the numbers they can.
Thar says, did you download the official 4K from Rockstar? I haven't. I've got a 4K TV I could watch it on, but my monitor at home is only a 1440. But yeah, I can still put that up and probably watch it on the big screen at 4K.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't check when I was watching it last night what resolution I was watching. I completely didn't think about that when I was watching it. Because I know YouTube likes to crush their the pixels and everything else. Anyway.
Looking at Rockstar Games' YouTube channel. Let's see how many views. About 12.4 million views.
Oh, of the 30-minute reveal?
Yeah. So wow. An extended look, yeah. So about 12.4 million views. So yeah, that's good.
That's very good. Yeah, I've got something in here. Well, I thought I did.
Are they like Square? Are they like Square Enix, where the numbers, which is good to everybody else, isn't good to them?
Oh, there's that too.
Yeah.
I may not have. There it is. Yeah, I do have it. Here it is. And I know we got to take a break here. It comes from Eurogamer. Reaction streams to Grand Theft Auto 6 first gameplay presentation peaked at 3.9 million viewers across live streaming platforms, making it the biggest game stream of 2026 so far. This is new data from Streams Charts, which claims 9,038 streamers covered Rockstar Games' Netflix reveal, racking up 5.2 million hours watched. That puts GTA 6's reveal ahead of Summer Game Fest 2026's 3.81 million peak viewers, as well as June's Nintendo Direct and State of Play broadcast. Twitch carried the largest share of the audience, accounting for around 44% of total hours watched, ahead of YouTube. A Spanish streamer led the way with 233,520 peak viewers, a new record for his own channel, ahead of Rubius and iShowSpeed. The reveal went out at 8 p.m. UK time, but heavy demand caused technical issues on both Netflix and Twitch, with some viewers reportedly locked out for 40 to 50 minutes. That didn't deter internet hype, though. Steam's Streams Charts tracked more than 100,000 chat messages about the game across the three-hour window it analyzed. While the bulk of tracked messages about the reveal were neutral, positive messages made up 11 to 15% of the total, while negative messages sat around at 17 to 20%. Much of it aimed at the Switch, at the Twitch and Netflix outages rather than the game itself. About a fifth of all messages compared the reveal to GTA 5 and Red Dead 2, generally with a negative tone, with one viewer complaining, GTA 5 DLC for $80. Cloudflare, which handles more than a fifth of global internet traffic, has since shared its own numbers of the reveal. Netflix's global traffic rose 16% compared to previous weeks as the extended look aired, with the spike even sharper in the UK at 45%. Twitch saw its own surge, 12% increase over the 3 hours following the premiere and peaking at 35%. YouTube jumped 39%. But it was Rockstar's own website that saw the biggest swing of all, with traffic climbing 172% worldwide and a huge 1,210% in the UK. That's quite massive. Grand Theft Auto 6 is due out November 19th. And so, yeah. This week's GTA 6 Bonanza revealed a wealth of new information about the game, such as a changed wanted system, a changed carjacking system, a new romance system, a huge game world, and a list of in-game activities. This is what $1 billion gets you, observed Chris Donlan. Though, as Chris points out, this push towards realism and away from the easygoing fun is a huge risk for the series, even if he argued it's ultimately right that it takes that risk. So, anyway.
Yeah, because then we talk about micromanaging, how it can kill the momentum of a game.
Uh-huh. Because, I mean, I know there's things like, hey, you got to eat, you got to drink, you got to sleep, you got to do this. And I'm just like,
suppose get gas.
Yep.
Man, that.
I mean, it's one of them things.
I think the last time I had to worry about gas was Burnout Paradise in a driving game.
No, there's no.
Was it?
I mean, if you drive through a gas station, your boost fills up.
Okay, yeah, well.
Fuel, but that's not your gas. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I haven't had a deal with gas in a game involving driving in a while. Not that I can think of any.
I know. I'm sure they exist, but I can't think of any.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over Gamescom here. We got music from Pioneers of Pagonia. It's a battle music here. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back into in-game chat music here from Splitgate Arena. Round Prep is the name of this track here. Splitgate Arena, or Splitgate itself, the studio has decided to shut down, I think, or pivot away from doing live shooter type stuff or whatever those are. Looter shooter things. They did two of them, and I can't remember what the other one was. Did I put it in the news? No, I did not. But yeah, it was that one. There was another one that just recently came out that I was actually interested in because it gave heavy Titanfall vibes. Like almost just go ahead and clone it, but you know, nobody else was, so go ahead. You know, maybe there's an audience for it. Apparently there was not, because they're kind of going back to the drawing board on the kind of games they want to make. So there is that. All right, let's talk about Gamescom. We really don't have much in the way of, I mean, this is not going to cover, we're going to have a short segment here, and then we're going to continue the discussion of Gamescom in the next segment, but God, it was a lot. It was a ton. Let's start, I think, with some of the pre-show. Roller Coaster Tycoon Wonderworks. I don't know. Atari owns the IP for Roller Coaster Tycoon. I'm fine with them. Just keep going with it. But they are not doing a very good job of trying to recapture whatever RCT 1, 2, and 3 did. There are better theme park sims out there. Planet Coaster is one of them that does it much better. Planet Zoo does it as well. The king that was Roller Coaster Tycoon is no more. But if you go back to 1, 2, or 3, the fun is still there, just to let you know. The enjoyment from that particular series of Sims, the Chris Sawyer era, that is the good stuff. This is the, I wish I could be the good stuff, and you're not doing it right. Another creature collector called Animo got a new trailer. Did not look interesting to me. Genogods. I don't know what that was, but obviously I didn't care about it because I don't remember it. Perceptum, a new spooky first-person horror game coming next year. Acornia, Mirror Worlds. This looked like it had hand-drawn animation in it. It's the same devs who did Tinykin. You play as a squirrel coming in 2027. Valor Mortis showed off the story trailer for that. A game called Tank Rat. You're a rat inside of a tank. That's pretty much all you... That's it. Murals. It's another game for 2027. They didn't really give me a description on this game. Thank you, Destructoid. You're not really doing a great job. Humankind 2. We got a sequel for that one. It's an RTS game about the history. It's kind of, it feels very Civilization-esque. Elta, Defy All Gods. You are a massive beast-like creature with a lizard dragon-looking pal thing, so sure. 2027 on that one, I guess. Age Twisters? A two-player co-op game starring a kid and their grandfather with puzzles to solve. Onimusha, Way of the Sword. New trailer for that one. That is from Capcom, coming out September 4th. Mariachi Legends. It's a pixel-style 2D Metroidvania game. It is coming up in April of next year. Now, it says that was the pre-show, but it left out something. You know, out of all the things that I remember, let me make sure that I didn't skip it. No. Why did they leave that out? Anyway, I'll just go ahead and tell you what it is unless I come across it later. It was Lego Skylines. It's a city builder with Legos to build, you know, your city out of Legos.
Perfect.
Absolutely. You're combining my two favorite things. So. Mm-hmm. Legos and city building. I am absolutely for that.
Legos, use your imagination, build what you like, have at it.
Then we got our first look at a brand new game done in Unreal Engine 5 called Noticefall. It looks very Monster Hunter-esque, but that was the first game. Rainbow Six Tactics. This seemed interesting to me. It's done in the style of XCOM, which that currently released Star Wars XCOM game, which is Star Wars. Oh God, why is it? Why am I loot Zero Company? Star Wars Zero Company is out now. Had great reviews for it. That is one that I will, Star Wars is the one that I'll pick up. Rainbow Six Tactics also looked great as well. Again, 2027. Understand that you're going to get nothing but mostly 2027 releases here because of what we talked about earlier, which is GTA 5. Or 6. I'm sorry. Yeah. Gears of War E-Day, we got the campaign trailer. That is coming out October 6th. A game called Ananta. Ananta. Thank you. It's anime, it looks GTA-style open world, but you can swing around like Spider-Man. It is launching January 15th, 2027. This one looked interesting to me, but I don't know. I'll wait for it to get released and then see how it goes, but it was just like the guy says, I still have no idea what this game is, and watching the trailer for it, I was still in the same vein of like, what are we doing? It's open world, but also has some mission structures to it, and I don't know. There's more I want to see, though. First-person perspective for Silent Hill, and it's called Silent Hill Townfall. It comes out next month. That's pretty quick turnaround on a Silent Hill game since they just released, wasn't it Silent Hill F?
Yeah.
Resonance of Plague Tale Legacy, that is, I believe, out now. But we got another trailer for that. Sea of Remnants, new trailer for that. It's piracy. It's a seafaring game. Doesn't have a release date. Crimson Desert Enhanced, which I guess is just an update of Crimson Desert already. Tides of Annihilation, a new trailer for that. Luftsong, a world where sound is the only language left. It's a beautiful indie with a lovely art style. Mega Man Dual Override. I'm absolutely fine with the more Mega Man. Capcom keeps cooking. Mega Man 2027 Return got a new look at gameplay and the confirmation of a new boss fight character. Twinkle Girl is the name of the character. Rayman Legends Retold. We got another trailer for that. That's coming out in October. PUBG Dead.net. I don't know when that's coming out, but it's a new multiplayer FPS IP featuring motorcycles, cars, and lots of cussing. But it's got the PUBG name attached to it. So there you go. It's not for me, but it is for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Control Resonance, which is, I know it's coming out in a few weeks. Got a new trailer for that. Blood of the Dawnwalker, again, also just a few days away. Game of Thrones, War for Westeros. It's an RTS, as Destructoid says, it's an RTS that may be about 10 years too late when it comes to cultural relevance. But still looks pretty badass. I don't know. At one time I was interested in this, but my hype for it's kind of worn down.
Mm-hmm.
There was one point where I was like, okay, I'm interested to see what this is. And now, and that was a good ways ago when I was interested in it. And now it's just like, kind of like, I don't think it's there for me anymore, but I don't know. Dust Origins. It's a gritty sci-fi action game. Twin stick shooter gameplay. Exodus. It's got some Mass Effect similarities. The gameplay shown so far has me a little skeptical, but this new footage shows off a sentient octopus squadmate. We'll know more when the game launches in April of next year. Warlock. It's a new Dungeons & Dragons game. Again, next year. 1001. Threads of Mazan, giant enemies, magic carpet. There you go. But coming out next year. Silver Palace, House of Greed. It's a third-person shooter with an anime style. Getting some new content soon. Metro 2039. I believe that's coming out pretty soon, too, maybe. Hitman, World of Assassinations, the Snoop Dogg collab. Sure. That's fine. That's coming out. That's out right now, August 27th through September 26th.
Yeah,
you can play that for free.
Still doing celebrities for the elusive target.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Aeon 2. It's a sequel to an anime action RPG coming out October 5th. Afterworld. The next game from the Paradox Interactive. A strategy game that looks inspired by Mad Max. It did not do anything for me. Is it Petit Planet or Petit Planet? I don't know.
I want to say Petit.
It's a cozy galactic life simulation game, which comes out winter of this year. Aliens Fireteam Elite 2. I don't know what the release date on that is. 1666 Amsterdam. Early access. It is out now. Showa? American Story?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what that is.
It's like a fever dream.
Road Kings. This is you driving a truck. March 11th, 2027 for that one. Stage Tour. This is something I'm interested in. I don't know if I'm interested in getting back into the whole Guitar Hero-esque thing again, but...
Especially after buying another apparatus for your system.
I know. I just... And it's not like the old ones are going to work. Because it won't. It's been too long.
Yeah, I've still got plenty of them. I've still got my Beatmania turntable and all that stuff. And the console is for still works, so I can still use it every now and then. But for anything else, no.
Guitar Hero and Rock Band live on in spirit. 90-plus songs and 180-plus collectible instruments will be available when this one launches on December 10th. There are also some real-world peripheral controllers to play it with, including guitars and a drum set. Mm-hmm. So they really want to get back into the band aspect of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind Rock Band so much. It was... But because of what it was, which was basically a group game,
mm-hmm.
I didn't play it as much. But when I did, it was a lot of fun when you had a full group to do what you needed to do with it. But when you didn't and it was just you, I would rather have played Guitar Hero, mm-hmm. where it's just you and the one instrument rather than you and the rest of the band.
What was the other one? The more detailed the Guitar Hero. Was it Guitar Smith?
That's Rocksmith.
Rocksmith, okay. Yeah. So that was that the one with strings?
That was the one that taught you how to play guitar.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It gamified teaching you how to play guitar with a real guitar.
Mm-hmm.
A real guitar. And I know some people that used it. The Coop, who's actually building a game now, Jason Cooper, I think he was using it. Because I remember him talking about Rocksmith. I remember him having a guitar that he plugged in and used for it. And I know he plays guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Taxi World Tour, the multiplayer trailer we got for that, again, coming in 2027. I don't care about the multiplayer. I'm in for that game.
Yeah.
It's Crazy Taxi. I loved it. I'm in for mm-hmm. it. Turok Origins, just no, not there for that. 2027. I'm glad it's there. There's going to be people that want it, but it's just, I've never enjoyed a Turok game. Never have I enjoyed it. Mm. Gravhounds. It's a studio made up of Halo and Battlefield veterans. You play a shooter. It's a shooter where you play as an anthropomorphic dog that are actually stuffed animal plushies. I don't know. But it's called Gravhounds. Oh, there's Lego Skylines. Maybe it was in the main. I thought it was in the pre-show. But yeah, Lego Skylines. We don't have a date, but I'm imagining 2027 for that one, if not further out. Transport Fever 3. I don't know when that comes out, but sure. Exterminauts. It's been officially revealed. And, yeah, I don't know really anything about it. Path of Exile 2, getting a release on December 11th, I believe. Heroes of Might and Magic 3 Remake. This is from Ubisoft. And I'd never played Heroes of Might and Magic 3 or prior. So, A game called No Law. It's a cyberpunk FPS from Neon Punk and Krafton, and they say it looks kind of awesome. It did hold my attention a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a first-person shooter, and I'm just not sure I'm down for that.
Hints from Cyberpunk 2077?
I haven't played that in a while.
Yeah. Been a minute for me, too, but yeah. Every time I think of Cyberpunk, the first thing I do is go back to...
Does that game have a third-person mode in it? Yet?
I haven't seen it.
Or did it ever?
I don't know if it did. Maybe something in the PS5 version. If I'm pretty sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they added. They added something to the PS5 version of Cyberpunk, other than the DLC that I know of. But
yeah,
I don't know if it was a third person version.
We're gonna take a break here, pause in this part of the reveal here, and we'll come back to these. I don't think we've got many left. I know I'm breezing through them, but there's just not much to tell you about them. Most of them are not even coming out this year. They're coming out next year. So we're going to have a lot more to say about them as the year goes on and we get more information about them. Obviously, the next big thing that we're going to get out of this is either another state of play from PlayStation at some point between now and the end of the year. And then we have the Game Awards in December. That'll be the next time we get anything of substance as far as a look at new games coming out or what's being teased or worked on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This just, you can tell from how fast I've gone through this and the way that I've done it, there was just nothing that was holding my attention on it.
Mm-hmm. Very few in here for myself. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be right back. This is music from, I guess it's called Ultimate Sheep Raccoon. I don't know why it's called Ultimate Sheep Raccoon, unless it's called Ultimate Sheep, and then this track is called Raccoon, or I don't know. Anyway, here's music from a video game. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Endgame Chat. This is music from Pathologic 3. It is the main theme of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ever closer to our October month of nothing but spooky game music. Ooh. All right, getting back to Gamescom. Project Zeta. It's a tactical hero arena game. Don't care. Cinder City. I don't know what that was.
Something burning.
Well, yeah, looks like it's a third-person over-the-shoulder shooter type thing. A game called Ontos? This does not give me much of a description. Someone hooked a bunch of rats up to machines, and now weird and gross things are happening. Pony Island 2. Panda Circus. This is the same guy that did Inscription. But yeah, Pony Island 2. I don't know much about it. I didn't play Pony Island 1, although everybody says, yeah, Pony Island's great. I think I have it, but I'd never played it. Or did I? Maybe I did. And I didn't like what direction it was going in.
Did you pick it up for free or something on the Steam sale?
I don't remember that, or a Humble Bundle or something like mm-hmm. that. I can't remember.
Mm.
I'm not sure. I may be wrong. Some game called Zoopunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of animals teaming up for some combat. Not sure. We got another trailer for, or release date trailer for No Ghosts at the Grand. Very interesting game. It's a musical. It's also a cleanup type game and a detective mystery type thing. I'm not sure. Decorator by day, Ghost Hunter by night. It's coming to early access in December. Man, I hate that. Roko Kingdom, it's a Pokemon-like. The Defiant, it's an FPS. Takes place on the Great Wall of China. Something the Unbound. Terre the Unbound. It's a cool-looking Diablo or Path of Exile-like action RPG. Like or Die, a stylish Korean hero shooter with a lot of flair and some unique abilities. All the characters are conveniently attractive. Yay. And then we got Final Fantasy VII Revelation, which is the final of the Final Fantasy VII Remake Trilogy, coming in the spring. We got the Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Remastered announced trailer. This was kind of cool because if you own Witcher 3, you'll get the remastered edition for free. It's a completely free upgrade. It is coming at the end of September, but it's also coinciding with the new DLC that should bridge 3 to 4, Witcher 3 to Witcher 4, whenever that gets released. And it's called Songs of the Past, which is the new DLC. 12 years after it launched, we got brand new DLC for a game. The fact that they're doing a remastered version of the third game and now releasing some DLC for it as well, good for them. It may be a game I get back into because I didn't get very far into it.
Mm-hmm.
I got through the prologue at the very least, and maybe some more after that. But I didn't put a lot of time into it. I kind of regret it because I know it's really good. But it's also a game that I had to run a trainer for because I don't like being weighed down by the stuff that I pick up, because I like to pick up everything. So I'm like, I'm going to have, you know, bottomless pockets, and it's never going to make me tired to carry as much as I can.
Yeah, there's a mod for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I will not play by your rules.
I'm trying to remember the last time I was annoying encumbered status, and I want to say it was Fallout, because like you say, picking up everything is key to survival in that game, and you're telling me now I'm stuck. I got to drop something off.
And, honestly, you know, it's something that I really got to let go of, but it's very hard for me to do because in any of these games where you do have unlimited pockets, you know what I'm saying? Where you can pick up everything you need. Even when I'm allowed to pick up everything I need, I hoard it. You know, if it's something where, you know, I could trade this in and get currency, but I don't know, I might need it later. I better hang on to it.
That's an issue I'm having in the Division 2.
Yeah.
Picking up equipment and stats and things to build and increase my abilities to do things.
Yep.
Yeah, you tend to hoard those things, but then you got a limit.
Yeah.
But at least it's not encumbered. Like, you slow down, you're sluggish, and you can't move. It just says you can't pick up anything. You just can't pick up any more stuff.
The thing that gets me is that and this happens in almost every single game that lets me do it. The problem, and I'm, the reason I get annoyed by it is the fact that I have not learned already to do better at this. Mm-hmm. And that is my hoarding. That is my collecting all this stuff and keeping it on me, even when it comes to the point where it's like, hey, you can sell this now and get some money so that you can buy other things you need. I'm like, maybe I'll just sell one, you know, or maybe I'll sell enough and just keep one because what if I need that? Half the time for a lot of these games, when I get to a particular part of the game, or even when I get through with it, I look back and I'm like, boy, I never need that. Or, you know, I could have easily gotten rid of that. I don't know why I held on to this or what it was. I've come back to games where, you know, I've stopped playing them for a while and I've come back and I look at my inventory and I'm like, why was I hanging on to this for?
Mm-hmm.
What was I doing this for? It's just the nature of how I play my games is every nook and cranny, everything in my pocket.
I bet it was something that was worth a lot in game while you were playing it.
But now, possibly.
Now did you pick it up again all this time later? Now there's mods and everything that negates its value.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
so something like that could happen.
I don't necessarily remember if I needed money in The Witcher, but I can't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. And I bet The Witcher 3 right now would run really good on my machine. Now, the remastered version, I don't know. I'll have to look at the specs, but Witcher 3 was 2015. 10-year-old game. And the reason I remember it being 2015 was because that was the year I bought a brand new graphics card. I wish I could tell you which one it was that I bought. I can't remember. It's not the current one that I'm using. I bought that in 2021, I think. But at the time, I hadn't upgraded in a long while. And so I finally bought a new graphics card in 2015 in anticipation of not only The Witcher 3 that year, but also Batman Arkham Knight being released that year.
Okay.
Because Arkham Knight released on consoles like a few months prior. Like maybe, I say a few, like 6 months prior. And it had a delay on PC release. And it was all kind of buggy and messed up and everything else. Although now it runs really, really good. But it's fun to go back to these games. And these games look really good, too. They are not necessarily a sign of their times. You don't put in Batman Arkham Knight or The Witcher 3 even running at max settings and look at that game and think that it's not holding up. They absolutely are holding up. I think, and again, this is a testament, I guess, to CD Projekt Red, because I think Cyberpunk's the same game. Cyberpunk is a game that you'll be able to put in, you know, you'll be able to fire up on your PC 10 years from now with whatever card is available to you in that time. Run it at max settings, and you're going to get a beautiful-looking game. An absolutely stunning, drop-dead gorgeous game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to play glitchy, but you're going to get a good-looking game.
Yeah, this is why I have such a... That's why I'm not easily impressed. I'm not impressed by how good the game looks. I mean, at this point in time, with all the technology available, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you better have good graphics in this day and age, especially if you're a AAA title.
Makes me wonder. I think GTA 5 has an enhanced version on PC. I don't think I have GTA 5 on PC, though.
That they did mention enhanced, because when I picked it up on PS5, it was the enhanced version.
Yeah,
the
and I think they've got one as well.
I just call it the current version.
It is.
GTA Online.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Curious how well that looks. Obviously, you know, kind of getting a bump in interest because of the GTA 6 stuff that we saw.
Yeah.
And kind of going back to it. I did play the game. I did beat the game. You know, I did that. I want to say it might have been... No, I never beat the first GTA game, or I never beat GTA 3.
Okay.
I did beat Vice City.
And 4?
I didn't play San Andreas.
No, I mean 4.
I know, I'm going through the line.
Okay, yeah.
So GTA 3 I never finished.
Okay.
GTA Vice City I did. GTA San Andreas I never even played. Again, that one had the micromanaging of your... hunger and your stats and all this other stuff.
Muscle fat, all that good, all that stuff.
GTA 4, I think, was the next one out of that. I did not finish GTA 4.
Do you recall how far you got in it?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I say I didn't finish it. Maybe I did. I don't remember. I don't think I did, though. Because I know they had the DLC released for it, and I never played any of the DLC that released. And then GTA 5, I finished that one. Not in a sense where I did all the side missions and whatever else. I just finished the game.
Story.
Yeah. Did the story and that was it. And the need to get back into the game completely dropped off once I finished the story.
Well, that's the nature of a story game.
It really is.
You play a story game, you've played the story. It's like you watch a movie. You want to go back in there 5 minutes and play it and watch it again?
Some scenes.
Scenes, but not the entire movie.
But right? Obviously not the entire movie. No.
That's the thing about story games, the lack of a replay value, unless you have branching paths or something of that nature.
Yeah, but it's open world, which would make you think that, you know, there's plenty of, because I didn't 100% it. So, I mean, there was plenty of other things that I could go do. But my motivation to go do them was done.
Yeah.
It was like, what is this going to do for me other than get me more money? Now, online, there's different things. You buy yourself an apartment. You get all this stuff done. There's other things, which is, given that we had that for GTA 5, when it first released, I dipped my toes in the water. The water did not feel good. Mm-hmm. It got better. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, mainly from you.
Yeah.
It got better. I just wasn't around for when it got better.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hoping for with this is that I will be around when they do release this version of GTA Online, and it's good from, you know, the word go.
I'm wondering if they're going to split it like they did with GTA 5.
Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've already said there will be an online component, but they aren't ready to release that yet.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where you don't have to buy GTA 6 to play the newer version of
GTA Online. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I would imagine. Especially since they can nickel and dime you regardless in either of them.
Yeah, we saw, but like Lethal Migraine said in the comments about how much production cost was. They are definitely going to nickel and dime you on this one.
Like $2 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see how much time it would take for them to get that money back. And then some.
I've been neglecting the chat room there. Lethal Migraine says you're late for the top of the hour break. We were, and I thank you for reminding me. You do have to get gas in Fortnite unless you abandon your ride. I've never played Fortnite, so I did not know that.
Wow.
Interesting that they put gas in Fortnite. Okay. I guess, you know, because it's a multiplayer type thing, if you don't manage the fact that a vehicle can run out of gas, you can just run rampant.
Or maybe the vehicles in that game can be really abused if you don't have to stop it for something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. AC Wraith says, I was hopeful for Ananta's open anime urban world until I realized it was a live service game.
Yeah. There is that.
AC Wraith says, I'm interested because this Turok is third person. I could never play the first person ones. Maybe there's a difference there for me. Maybe that's it. HOM3 is one of those legendary games that indies are constantly trying to make homages to. HOM3, is that Heroes of Might and Magic 3?
I think so.
I'm guessing it is. Wouldn't that be HOMM3? Anyway, Lethal Migraine says, just loaded up Hitman. In order to go after Snoop, you have to buy the Herbalist Pack, which is $8. Lethal Migraine also says, give CDPR $2 billion and tell them to make a GTA clone. It would look better. Pay better? Probably play better is what he... Yeah, play better. And be 10 times better all around. And AC Ray says probably pay better too if they don't lay off the same amount of people. Heroes of Might and Magic 3. I have heard good things about that. It reminds me of like Age of Mythology. A little bit. I think it was Age of Mythology. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah. I get my games mixed up so much.
Mm-hmm.
Kotaku said a thing about, it's hard to criticize Opening Night Live, which is Gamecom's, the whole thing we've been talking about. It's hard to criticize Gamecom's Opening Night Live showcase without accidentally firing off shots at games that probably don't deserve it. But that was a pretty miserable showcase. Jeff Keighley hosts the biggest English language video game showcase of the year, and the Germany-based presentation is typically the one that feels the least curated. This year, it also feels like the format is serving very few games on the stage. If you were to pluck most of the trailers in the two-hour show out of the event, you probably could find a lot to be excited about. But the lineup at Gamescom hurt a lot of these games, as so many of them had such familiar vibes, gameplay loops, and aesthetics that all kind of blended together and painted a pretty stultifying picture of the months ahead. I just wrote a recap of the showcase, found that about midway through, I was running out of things to say about every dark fantasy game, edgy shooter, or anime-inspired Hoyoverse-esque game as it came and went without a moment of impact. Keighley had a few major games up his sleeve to act as the headliners, but Final Fantasy VII Revelations' appearance was all too brief after we'd endured nearly 2 hours of games that couldn't hope to meaningfully differentiate themselves from all the others. The night's final reveal, a remaster of The Witcher 3, was probably the biggest surprise of the show, which is kind of an anticlimactic note to end on, as it's an 11-year-old game. You're kind of right about that. At least it's getting a hefty expansion next year, so there's something new on the horizon. This is the same struggle that shows like Wholesome Games have run into, and that they're so curated around a specific theme that showing too many games at once runs the risk of them all bleeding into each other. And the longer the show goes on, here's my... This is my thing, the length. The longer it goes on, the less time anyone gets to process something that looks cool before their short-term memory is overwritten by the next not too distinct enough game. This year's GameCom felt like the also-ran of Keighley shows. Summer Game Fest has taken up E3's usual place as the summer show that everyone pays attention to. Game Awards has prestige to chase as it positions itself as the video game Oscars, which leaves Gamescom in this awkward spot of sometimes feeling like a place for Keighley and crew to dump all the miscellaneous games that aren't quite big enough to go one way or the other. And while some of these games surely benefit from being featured here, it doesn't do them any real favors when they get overshadowed by Final Fantasy VII or whatever's at the end. So, yeah, kind of with them on that. Not necessarily for the same reasons. I just did not enjoy the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that it just didn't cater to me, but there's even showcases, they have a little bit of everything, whereas this felt like it had a little bit of one thing. Or a little bit of two or three, or a lot of two or three different, what am I trying to say? A little bit of everything, or a lot of just two or three different things is what we got to see at Gamescom. A lot of things looked the same.
So it felt repetitive.
Yeah, a lot of things looked the same as or this, or looked the same as something else in the showcase or something else that already exists.
Oh, it was really a whole bunch of nothing special that held you. Held
nothing
your
that, yeah, it's not one of those things that you go back to and be like, hey, remember when they showed off this at what, you know, no.
Yeah.
The only thing I came away from was LEGO Skylines. That's the only thing, like if you were to hit me off the street after this had shown, not immediately, but like come at me like a couple days later.
Yeah, what's going to stick in your mind?
Hey, man, what'd you see at the Gamescom thing? And I'd be like, that Lego thing looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I would say maybe there were some indies I was interested in.
Yeah.
And then it's me trying to struggle to figure out what else was shown.
Yeah, right now, all I got is Ananta and Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, I mean, over it here, I have a lot more to think about, but...
Yeah.
Just coming away from it, which is a lot how these things work.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see them once and hopefully you retain that information.
Yeah.
But
5-6 months later, you don't hear about it again.
And it doesn't necessarily matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get more info about these things
or new stuff comes out that takes over.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But you said we'd have how many more award shows we got before the year's out?
We get Game Awards in December, so that's the only thing left, unless there is a State of Play from Sony or a Nintendo Direct of some kind.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all we get.
Yeah.
So
more info coming.
Yep. Yeah. We are about to wrap up here. Something I forgot to mention at the top of the show was that we are not going to have a show next week. Obviously, it is Labor Day weekend here in the States, and we are going to take that weekend off. We got a replay for you lined up for next weekend, so just to let you know that we won't be here live for that. I don't know. What else? Is anything else going on?
Mm.
I mean, I got more news, but I got no time. We got like 2 minutes, and so I don't really have a lot of time to talk about them here.
Mm.
The disc-to-digital program for Xbox, that is launching next week, beginning Monday for Xbox Insider program, that sort of thing, and then it'll roll out more. So it's taking your discs, converting them to digital. I haven't looked up the pros and cons of it yet, but we'll see. So anyway, RJ, thank you again for coming in.
No problem, man.
You guys have a fantastic 2 weeks. That is when we will see you back here in the studio. Here is music from a game called I Am Future. The track name is called Expedition. Have a great 2 weeks, and we will see you next Saturday. Yeah.